are today punishing the kids. We are not doing kids a favor when we hand them that diploma on the stage, and then they realize weeks, months later that diploma doesn't get them anything because they struggle with even the most basic skills.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. You just heard from the superintendent or the education commissioner of Kentucky. And in both Ohio and Kentucky, the issue of graduation requirements for high school students is currently being debated. In a rapidly changing society and rapidly changing economy, what do students need to know, and how should they have to demonstrate that they are ready for transition to either higher education or to the workforce? To begin, we are in Ohio. For an overview, we are where things stand. We are joined by the Ohio Public Radio reporter, Andy Chow. Andy, thanks for joining us today and catching us up and sort of setting the table here for what's going on in Ohio and in Columbus.
Sure, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Now, you know, this all began a few years ago, but really 4 years ago, back in 2014, with the adoption of some new standards, some harder grading on state tests. What was the goal and how serious were those changes?
Well, the question on everyone's minds when they started this was, what is a diploma in Ohio worth? What is a high school senior walking away with when he or she graduates and has that diploma? Because the problem is that a lot of Ohio students who graduated high school and then went on to some sort of higher education still had to take remediation courses because they weren't quite up to speed on where those colleges and universities wanted them to be. So they thought the intent was to raise the standards in Ohio to make it a little tougher to get a diploma, but to raise the standards on what a diploma means. So right now, students need to take 7 different tests throughout their time in high school, and they need to achieve a certain grade or a certain average grade in order to graduate, and that covers math and English and other categories. And right now what we've seen last year with the class of 2018 is that a lot of students were not on pace to graduate. They weren't on track to graduate. So lawmakers decided to lower that bar to create what were called alternative pathways to make sure that more people were able to graduate, to make sure that more people were able to go on to get a diploma. Now, those are the same standards that are higher again for the class of 2019 and onward. So right now, lawmakers are looking at possible ways of maybe once again going towards those alternate pathways. And then going forward, do they need to permanently change the bar again so we don't keep running into this problem of having a wide range of students not on track to graduate?
Well, so there were standards set, and then for the class of 2018, which was going to be impacted, there were these alternative pathways because the fear was that it was really going to cut into the number of students who were going to be able to achieve a diploma. So the question now is, as you were saying, should those alternative pathways be extended into at least 2019 and maybe into 2020? Where does that stand in, I want to point out now, the lame duck session of the General Assembly? Where do we stand on extending these alternative pathways?
Right now, it seems like that is the top priority when it comes to these issues, and there's basically two big issues here when we're talking about high school graduation standards. The most pressing issue right now is, what do we do with the class of 2019? What do we do with this class of seniors who for a lot of them are not on track to graduate? Do lawmakers decide to once again lower the standards and create alternate pathways? Right now, the leader of the Senate Education Committee, Senator Peggy Lehner, is saying that this is her top goal. This is one of the big things she wants to take care of, that she wants to address this issue. She led the charge last year when they did this for the class of 2018. So right now, during lame duck, it seems like that this is going to be among the top priorities for the legislature. It seems like there is political will for them to move forward and create these alternate pathways. And they might also do it for the class of 2020 as well.
Is this a partisan issue? Does this split Republican, Democratic?
As far as I've seen, no. It's been basically a lot of people have agreed that Ohio's diploma needs to mean something, that they do need to raise the bar a little bit when it comes to what a diploma in Ohio means. There hasn't been a lot of squabbling. There hasn't been really much partisan bickering as to how to address this issue. The main back and forth that we've seen is this just a little bit of tension between school administrators, superintendents, and the state school board. I think one of the biggest things is time. I think we've seen a lot of school administrators say we need to be taking on this issue sooner rather than later.
I want to be clear. Should this session of the General Assembly run out and the new General Assembly comes in, even though the Republican-Democratic split is about the same for all practical purposes, this whole bill has to be restarted. Is that right? And so time is really an issue here.
Time is an issue. I think it's more for the schools and it's more for the teachers and the students and the school administrators who want to know what they're up against come next year. This is one of those things that we saw last time when they did this for the class of 2018, that if they wanted to, the Ohio Senate and the Ohio House could work on this and move it pretty quick. So if it doesn't happen this year, which I believe it will happen this year, but if it doesn't and it has to be taken up in the new session, I still think it could go pretty quickly. But again, that's maybe a month or two where teachers and administrators and students don't know where they're at.
Well, Andy Chow from Ohio Public Radio, I want to thank you very much for being here and sort of giving us the big picture. I now want to move on to two guests that we have in the studio, Craig Hockenberry, the superintendent of Three Rivers School, and Tom Burton, the superintendent of Princeton City Schools. So, Craig, let's start out with a simple question. What are you telling your students and your teachers right now about the graduation requirements?
Well, that's the problem, is we don't know what to tell them. Obviously, Three Rivers and all of Hamilton County, the superintendents, we support high standards for kids, but we also expect there to be clear expectations of what they have to do to get across the finish line, and we're not sure of those right now. What we do know is that, thousands and thousands of kids throughout the state of Ohio are at risk to not get a diploma. Some districts are being affected way more than others, and it's very great to see Superintendent Burton here and Superintendent Mitchell from Cincinnati Public out in front of this, because it's really getting a lot of we're getting a lot of meat here, and hopefully as we continue to move through, we'll get some clear expectations out for the kids.
Well, Tom Burton with Princeton City Schools, what are these alternative pathways? I mean, that's a nice sounding name, but what's that mean in terms of how do the tests work? What are the scores that are possible? What score do you need? And what are the alternative pathways that were allowed for 2018 and being asked for 2019?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, thanks for having us. We certainly appreciate the venue. When I hear alternative pathways, it always bothers me, because it shouldn't be alternative pathways. It should just be pathways for kids to be successful. I don't doubt that a lot more kids are taking remediation classes than probably should be. But that's just one pathway for kids. So when you look at the current pathway, there's three right now, down from as many as nine from last year. So when you look at it, a student could pass the requisite amount of, get the requisite amount of points, which is 18 points. And I'm just going to kind of cut it at that, 18 points out of 35.
They need 18 points out of 35.
Out of 35 for end of course exams. Okay. Now, there's some nuances in there, but for time, ultimately, that's where we have. We also have a student can get remediation-free scores on an ACT exam. So basically, that's 18, 22, 22, 23, but 23 in science and so forth, and going all the way down, 18 in English, and then 22 for the other two examinations. So for the reading as well as the...
The math?
Yes, the math. So. And so... ultimately, so we have those two, and they could also receive a workplace or workforce certificate passing the work keys. So if they go to a vocational school, they would have to do that. So those are the current three. Now, last year, we had other opportunities. The kids could take a capstone. There were a whole different pathway. And of the nine options, the students would have to pass two of those. So we had opportunities for they could get community service. They could also have an attendance rate of 93%, which, by the way, we've heard a lot from legislators that, you know, kids shouldn't just have to show up to be able to get credit. Well, that's one of the components of it. It's just one of two. And on top of everything, they still have to meet the rigor that each school requires. So for 4 years, they go through rigorous coursework. But the interesting thing is when we talk, myself and Craig and many of our colleagues, when we talk to businesses, they say the number one thing that they want out of new employees is to show up. To show up. That's what they want.
But soft skills.
Exactly. Well, yeah, we say it's soft, but it's so absolutely
right.
Critical.
The harder skills.
And right. Then we also have a capstone, which is determined by the local school district. And this is all last year, of course. They could earn three or more college credit plus, so forth.
If students last year had not had these alternative pathways, or, okay, whatever term we're using, but that is the term that's being
thank
used.
Thank you. It is, Dan. Okay. Thank you.
So if they had not had those pathways, how many students at Princeton would not have been able to get a diploma, who would not have graduated from Princeton?
Yeah, and it really depends on when you would have asked us that, because like currently, right now, we have 163 kids that are short of the end of year course exams. But as we go out of 398.
Okay, that's a lot.
It is. And when you talk to our colleagues around Hamilton County, you'd be surprised at some of the schools that have multiple, it doesn't matter what type of district you're from. Every single school district that we know of is struggling with this. But last year, we would have ended with, I think, 62 kids that would not have graduated.
Craig, what about you?
So we had 160 and 23 would have been impacted. And that's pretty much the same percentage this year. It's not as big as the Princeton's and the Cincinnati Publics, but where it becomes problematic is that's 23 kids, 25, 28 every single year that are high school dropouts
in small
communities.
Right now, you're at Three Rivers.
Yes.
But Craig, you've been at Euler as the principal for 14, 15 years, whatever 15, it was,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
15 years. You were the superintendent at Manchester in Adams County, which was a rural district primarily. So you've seen urban poverty levels. You've seen rural poverty levels. You're now in a sort of a middle-class suburban area. You've seen all these systems. Some of these districts, like a Manchester, is going to be, or an Euler school, is really going to be impacted, right?
Yeah, very much so. So I'm also the president of VASA, which is our superintendent association. And it was interesting that the rural school districts were some of the first to pass the resolution because it's having such an impact in rural Ohio as well. But and the other thing I wanted to bring up is that, you know, the alternative pathways, you know, they're one, you know, and graduating kids is one issue that we have. It's very difficult to graduate kids in the inner city for a lot of different reasons. You know, the kids are growing up in poverty. We have a lot of mental health issues, extreme mobility, kids moving all around. So it's extremely difficult as it is. And we want to get these kids across the finish line. We want them to do well in school. We want them to get out and into the workforce. We want them to go on to college. And when we continue to change the graduation requirements and make it more complicated, it just adds yet another factor that, you know, puts a bump in the road for all of educators across the region. I talked to principals in the inner city still, and the challenges continue to build up. And I talked to colleagues in rural Ohio as well, and it's the same thing that we're all facing. That's why we're all united against this.
Okay, I have to take a short break, but after the break, we'll continue with our discussion of education testing and reform in Ohio. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. We are focused today on education reform proposals in Ohio and Kentucky. To explore further the situation in Ohio, we are joined by the superintendent of Three Rivers Schools, Craig Hockenberry, and the superintendent of Princeton City Schools, Tom Burton. If you'd like to join this conversation, you can call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. I think the final phrase out of Craig's mouth before we took the break was, we're all united in opposition to this. Some people would say, well, what we need are higher standards. The fact that students aren't graduating, aren't able to graduate, or that the diploma doesn't mean what we think it means, that's a real problem. Tom, what do you say to that?
Well, if the playing field was level, if everybody came from the same type of household, same economic impact in the family, and they would be able to, if everything was all even and everything was all consistent, the standards are consistent, but how they get applied, it really is dependent upon what your zip code is. And that, to me, is where kind of rubber meets the road, is we need to make sure that it's equitable as much as we possibly can be, the application of the standards and the application of the rigor to earn credits for a diploma. And really, when you look at it, we're trying to say this is the way to graduate. And we're not talking about industry credentials, although we do, and there's a requirement, as I mentioned earlier, or pathway to get there. But ultimately, it's incredible to me when we look at we're minimizing the rigor in each school. And I'm telling you, I've been around quite a bit. I've seen lots of different schools. The rigor that's going on in each classroom across the state, it's very rigorous. It's more rigorous now than it was when any of us were in school. We didn't have to take a state test. And I would argue at least two of the three people in this room are successful. Me excluded, of course, they're doing.
and you come from a district, Princeton City Schools, has more variety in its district than almost any other district in our area.
It's beautifully diverse.
It is unbelievably diverse on economic level, on racial mix, on immigration, on all sorts
Absolutely.
Of things. There is really a great deal of diversity. You live with it every day. Craig, how much input did superintendents, curriculum directors, teachers have on creating the standards that were created back in 2014? How much input do the school people have on these sorts of discussions?
I would say from a boots on the ground perspective, I can't remember talking to any legislators or any people from the state of Ohio about what they thought the body of work should look like to get a kid graduated in Ohio. And I did want to bring up a point that Tom made that was very interesting and I think very important, is that we start with children on the first day of school and from the day they're in kindergarten till the day they graduate. And it doesn't always look pretty, you know, as we punch them through this 13, 14 years. But what's interesting is that, you know, if you look at the body of work and the things that we do in the classrooms and throughout with community learning centers, with initiatives, with all the things that are going on, it's great to watch them grow, watch them learn, watch them become better citizens. And a lot of times these state tests get in the way of everything. Some kids just aren't good test takers. And we're basing their entire experience in school on how they perform on one day in April and May in one class that could stop them from becoming productive citizens. So I wanted to get that point out there. These pathways, they highlight skills that we need in the workforce. And the way it's going right now is we're going to lose those opportunities.
And if I may jump in here.
Sure, Tom.
It's interesting when you look at the current three pathways, they're all predicated on someone's ability to pass a test, whether it's work keys, ACT, or pass a test, or get the requisite scores. Mm-hmm. It's a work keys, ACT, or the end of your course exams. So while there are three different pathways currently, ultimately it's about your ability to pass a test.
Which a lot of people have different abilities to take tests. Is that what your, is that your point?
Oh, absolutely. To echo what Craig said, we can give you hundreds and hundreds of examples of students that were poor test takers that are unbelievably successful, and we'd all be proud to know them and work with them.
Well, we have a caller who has called in who I think you're going to know, Lauren Worley. We don't usually use last names, but Lauren, what is your point?
Yeah, I think it's really important to emphasize as well, and it's great to hear the conversation with the superintendents today, that the students who are in high school right now have had two or three different sets of standards put in front of them. There's no company in this region who would change their workforce's standard that they're supposed to meet every year, year on year. So while it might seem to members of the General Assembly, well, they can wait till next general session, the onus is really on these kids who've got one last opportunity in December to pass these tests, and that's it for them to get across the graduation stage in May. It is, it's essential that, that the General Assembly act on these, act on this during their lame duck session.
So it, we're down to, what, 5 weeks? Is that what we're talking about? Five and a half weeks? That we need to get this done. During the election that we've just finished, how many conversations, now you said, you, Craig, you said you didn't have conversations with legislators who ask you questions about what should be in these, but how many conversations have you tried to have with members of the House of Representatives or the Senate about the importance of what Lauren was just bringing up?
So we, Three Rivers, hosted state former state board member Bruns, who was very much in support of, you know, extending the pathways. Senator Lou Tahar, and Lou Blessing both visited Three Rivers, and we discussed and we talked about our concerns. And it was great because both of them felt like local control should be brought back, and that's something we haven't talked about much. Is you know, all of our buses, all of our logos and everything have the word local at the end. It feels like we're making less and less decisions at the local level, and somebody else is making these decisions for us. So I know our entire school board is for extending these options so we can level the playing field and continue to get kids to graduate.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, I really certainly appreciate Senator Tirhar, who I met with him, Senator, well, now Senator Brenner. Had an opportunity to meet with him, but one of the biggest advocates I've ever seen is Jonathan Deaver, and I know he's, you know, it's undetermined yet, but his support for not only Princeton but also public school and making sure that there's still choice and having lots of options out there has been incredible. So actually, as a newer superintendent, I'm very impressed with the legislators who I've met with thus far, and they've listened, and they have said to me and to, you know, some of our colleagues, you know, what are some of the options that you have? So we met with the Pipe Fitters Union to try to establish a whole nother pathway for kids within Princeton. Jurgensen Company, Gorilla Glue, we have internships.
Well, a lot of the energy and the effort behind these new standards is around the question of workforce. I mean, businesses want highly ready workforce people to be attracted to Ohio. They want to use local residents. And then what Lauren just brought up, the constantly changing standards in a for any one class of students.
That was a tremendous point.
You know, so, and that no business would handle it that way. Sometimes we talk about, oh, if schools just ran like businesses, that's a problem because I've been a teacher. I know that that ain't going to work. But the what is the legitimate concern here from the business community?
Well, again, we've had lots of conversations. We had over 100 business partners at our last community business partnership breakfast. They will all tell you they want, again, they want people that are going to show up, that are going to be coachable, that are going to be able to work together as a team. Those are all the tenets. That's what they want. And yet we're not providing this pathway of being able to have to demonstrate the fact that we have kids that are self-starters, which is what businesses want. When you look statewide, there's about 37,000 students currently that are not on track in a random sampling that was done by Ohio Department of Education. So when you take a look at 37,000 kids, what happens if nothing changes? What's going to happen with the workforce? Where are those kids going to go without a diploma? What are they going to do? And I tell you, at Princeton, we're going to create a program. It's going to take a lot of money, but we'll create a program to work with those kids to give them more opportunities to be able to show that they earn a diploma.
Craig, I just want to piggyback on that with you. We're going to be running out of time here, but you've been at Euler, you've been at Manchester. What happens when a student doesn't end up with a diploma after the 13 years of school?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, it's very different. But first of all, when they don't graduate, there are an enormous amount of things can happen. Number one, in small communities like Three Rivers, it becomes a high level of unproductivity. They don't work. They don't contribute. And you know what happens after that. If you take that same model down in Lower Price Hill or Price Hill where I live, if you got kids that are running around on the streets with no diplomas and in and out of programs that aren't fit for them, they're going to commit crimes. They're going to end up in prison. They're going to end up, in jail and be an unproductive folk. So the alternative to not having alternative pathways is much, much worse when you look at on the streets and throughout, you know, the rest of the state of Ohio.
Well, I want to thank Craig Hockenberry and Tom Burton for being with us today to talk about the situation here in Ohio. After the break, the proposals to create statewide graduation requirements in Kentucky, slightly different. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.